Welcome to Mondays with Miles. Dr. Brand, today I want to talk a little bit about overrides. Three proposals have been sent back to the board of directors, the Division I board of directors, from the membership. Can you tell me a little bit about the override and what that means in the NCAA structure?
This is part of the strength of the NCAA structure. Three divisions operate separately in a federated way right now, and the Division II and Division III operate more as a town meeting participatory democracy and make their final votes at the convention. But what Division I has done since 1997 is act as a representative democracy. So we have a board of directors like a university, a board of trustees or a board of regents, and they are representative of the whole and they make the final decisions. Except that on occasion the membership itself can say, we don't agree with the board of directors and we want the group as a whole to make that decision. That was built in from the beginning, and we're seeing a few cases in which that's coming to fruition. That looks like we'll have, going back to the board, a situation in baseball, one for text messaging and another in golf, in which the board will be asked to say, do you want to sustain the position you've taken? If not, then they'll go through another process to find out where they want to be. But if the board says, yes, we are comfortable with the position we've taken, then it will go to the entire group of institutions, 350 institutions, at the convention. So I think this is democracy at work. It was designed to do this, and it seems to be progressing well.
Just to review the process for our listeners, the board of directors makes a decision, if you will. 30 override votes are needed from the membership to get the board of directors to reconsider. In this case, it'll be at their August meeting. If the board upholds its previous decision, that legislation will go to the NCAA convention where the entire membership, as Dr. Brand expressed, will vote on it. If they decide to amend their previous legislation, a 60-day window opens, in which case the membership can then respond with 30 override votes, which would then get it to the convention, or no override votes, which would then make it legislation. There have been significantly more overrides in the last couple of years than since 1997. Well, we went almost a decade without any, but now in the last 3 years, we've had more. Why is that?
Well, more isn't a lot. I mean, we're still under a half a dozen.
Right.
But there are some controversial issues on the table. Let's take text messaging, for example. There was an attempt to see if you can get a notion of text messaging in which there would be, say, restricted hours or restricted usage. And no one could figure out how that might work. And so the management council said, as a result, we're going to rule out text messaging entirely or any other electronic messaging. And then the board of directors adopted that recommendation. There's no question that that's controversial. Is there a better way to do it? Well, we're not clear. But in any case, I think by the board of directors taking the position that it did, certainly raised the question, is there a better way to do it? And so at least 30 members have come together and they said, we want the board to reconsider. A board may or may not reconsider, as you point out, during their August meeting is the time for them to do it. And if they put it back and say, you know, we can't find anything better, then it goes to the convention as a whole to figure out what to do. And that strikes me as a reasonable way to proceed in these controversial issues.
Does the override suggest that the president sitting on the board of directors, that the committee as a whole, is not necessarily in touch with the athletics programs? Is that what the feedback is saying?
No. First of all, we don't know what will happen at the convention, and we don't even know what will happen in August when the board reconsiders. I think the board is in touch. I think they're feeling frustrated by the fact that there's no better way to handle electronic messaging at this point. And they're trying to see, will the technology evolve so you could put some reasonable controls on it, or are there some other more palatable rules you can adopt? I think the board is representative, and through the various recommendations it receives, not only through management council, but through its cabinets and its other committees, I mean, it's fully in touch. That doesn't mean everyone's going to agree in the end, and we will have controversial issues.
Interestingly enough, in the original board of directors decision about text messaging, that group was influenced by the student athletes.
That's absolutely right, and I think that was a very significant influence on management council, and most especially the board of directors. The board of directors pays a lot of attention to what student athletes say. Some student athletes think, well, they don't have a say. Well, I think it's just the opposite. I think when they do voice an opinion, particularly if they do so in a consensus way, as we saw in this case, the fact of the matter is that the board pays great attention. Some of the coaches are not happy with the ban on text messaging. They say it makes their jobs harder to communicate with the student athletes, and they would prefer to have it back the old way, if not complete freedom, at least to controlled use.
Well, these are three hot issues, obviously, if they had the override enacted. One of my favorite parts of convention, to be quite honest with you, is when there is an override vote. I think it's very exciting. So we'll keep our eyes on this in August at the Board of Directors. We'll probably do a follow-up after that, and we'll see you next week, Dr. Barrett.
You bet.